High performers stack the deck in their favor. That's what they do. They don't just open their minds up to the possibility of God showing them something, but they look for it. Welcome to the Grow Time Business Devo, where we explore God's principles for living a high-performance life. My name is Kenneth Ott. And have you ever wondered how to strengthen your belief? Have you ever wondered how to eliminate doubt? I think today's story gives us insights on how to do that. You know, I've talked before about how important it is for an entrepreneur or for anyone who's successful to have belief, strong belief. God says in the Bible so many times that belief without doubt is how you get whatever you want. So that's a really powerful thing. But sometimes believing can be really challenging. Sometimes we want to believe, but we don't believe. Today's passage is the story of, it's called The Road to Emmaus. And it's right after Jesus rose from the dead. He's walking. He joins two of the disciples on a road to Emmaus and he talks with them and they don't realize that it's him. And it's interesting, some of what they say here. And then he ends up with all the disciples. He appears to all of them and they don't realize that it's him. And so I'm going to read some sections of this story. And I've got just a couple things to share with you that hopefully helps you implement this, helps inspire you and maybe pull some things out that helps you increase your belief, helps you eliminate your doubt so that you can accomplish whatever it is that you're going after, whatever it is that your mission is. So here we go. We're in Luke 24, verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So all those things were Jesus was just crucified and they had had this amazing story with him, right? And it led up to that. And it was a very disappointing end for them, as you can imagine. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Conversed and reasoned. It's interesting. I wonder if they were trying to figure out like the rationale behind this. Like they believed that Jesus was God's son and then he was killed and taken from them. And although he had said what was going to happen, they don't seem to be believing that or even have it in their mind that he was going to be raised from the dead 3 days later and those kind of things. It's fascinating. This story is really interesting to me. So Jesus himself drew near to them and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. And catch this. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. I'm going to stop there on that and then I'm going to continue on. Think about that, a couple things here. Number one, they don't recognize him. And then they tell him about the story. So I'll hold on that. But I think that there's something there. And check out this. This is not something you'd expect from the disciples. When I read this verse 21, I was very surprised. It's interesting. Verse 21, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. It doesn't say we still hope. It's we had hoped. Like it's past hope. They are squarely discouraged and they're struggling to believe. And by the way, remember, they were with him through all these miracles and things, right? And it's easy for us to say, oh, you know, How could they possibly not believe after being around him with all those miracles? And I've said this before. Then you think, how many times has God showed up in my life? How many times have there been massive wins in my life? How many times have there been essentially miracles? And I so easily forget them and I still don't believe. I still lose hope. I still get discouraged, right? Think about that. All right, I'm going to skip over to verse 28. This is further down in the story, right? So then they drew near to the village where they were going. So they're still walking. And he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him saying, stay with us for it's toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went and stayed with them. Now it came to pass that he sat at the table with them. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. Instantly disappeared. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they were feeling like there's something more here while they were walking the road, right? So they rose up the very hour and returned to Jerusalem. That's 11 miles away, or 7 miles away, sorry. This is the middle of the night. Went back to Jerusalem and found the 11. And those who were with them were gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. That's one of the two. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he is known and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. So they realized it was Jesus in the breaking of the bread. So they realized this is Jesus and they run back to the disciples. All right, going to continue for the next few verses and then we're going to stop here for a second. So verse 36, now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. So he appears again to all the disciples together, but they were terrified. So they're talking about him. He appears to them and they still don't recognize him, right? But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. So he's showing them his hands and his feet, right? For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. I'm going to stop there. It's fascinating to me. Maybe it's fascinating to you as I'm reading this. I'm like, you spent all this time with this person. How do you not recognize him on the road? And then how do you then recognize him? You run back to the other disciples. He appears to you there and you don't recognize him there. And by the way, this story ends with, I ended before they even recognized him again. So, you know, he appears to all the disciples and he's talking about that it's him. And then he asks for food and they're like, still kind of like, I'm not sure. And they give him food and he's eating. So clearly they're not crazy, right? And this is not the point of the story, the point that I want to bring out, but I think as an observation, it's really interesting to me. Jesus must not have been recognizable. Like maybe there's something more to it. He must not have visually been as recognizable. Maybe there was something even more miraculous and mysterious going on to where they had to realize it was him. But here's what I want to do. I want to pull out a few different little things. Number one, never give up hope. Okay, so like hope is... I've done devos on hope. Hope is an interesting word. I think in our current society, the connotation of hope is weakness, right? When you say I hope that this happens, the subtext is that you don't necessarily believe it's going to happen. It's almost cynical in its connotation. But the true meaning of hope, biblical hope, it's really interesting because as you dig into it, it's a belief in the future. It's active. It's based on faith. And by the way, faith is the belief in the positive expectation, that the thing that you expect. That's what faith is. Doubt is the belief in the negative. And so, verse 21, but we were hoping, they had given up hope. It's rare that you hear the disciples use disempowering phrases like this, like we don't hope. We have lost hope. We've given up hope. We had hoped. So I think that that's really powerful. But as I was thinking about this, I'm like, how could they have given up hope? And how could then the things that they're pursuing actually have happened? Because hope is essential to it. But I think what's interesting here, what I take away, and what I think is the application for us, is sometimes you're discouraged. Like, things have happened in my life, in my business, when I believed something was going to happen and it didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen or expected it to happen. It happened differently. I've gotten discouraged, and it's really easy to then start to question your hope, right? Have doubt start to seep in. But here's what I think is interesting here, and here's the takeaway. My pastor says this phrase. He says, pray what you got. And what that means is, it means that you can bring anything to God. And I think that this is an example of they're just praying what they've got. Like, they're being honest. Like, we had hoped and now we're discouraged, right? That is clearly okay. That may actually be different than doubt. Okay, and that's where I'm getting to here, because we know how dangerous doubt is, right? Doubt is the killer of your dreams. It's written in the Bible everywhere. Belief is critical to the success of what you're trying to do. So you would then say, like, losing hope and discouragement is probably doubt trying to creep in, but I don't think it's there yet. I think that discouragement and praying what you've got, when you still have the desire to believe, like they wanted to believe, I think that's the difference here. Now, it may not be as powerful as believing. I don't think it's a substitute. Like, you see all the spectrum in the Bible, and you see the spectrum in the disciples. Like, Peter had very high belief. Like, when he stepped off the boat, he was the only dude that stepped off the boat. The rest watched, and he did some great things. It goes to say in future verses about Peter, like way in the future, as he goes out, like, that people would go, like, travel for miles just to be in the shadow, just to have his shadow pass over them. This is Peter. Right, so Peter had very high belief. You don't hear that about all, like, necessarily all the rest of them. So I do think there's a spectrum. I don't think that discouragement and wanting to hope and wanting to believe is as good as absolute belief. But I don't think it's the same as doubt either. So I think that's the takeaway here. They wanted to believe, and they prayed what they've got. I think it's okay for us to pray and say how we feel. But I do think we have to keep hope. We have to keep hope alive. Clearly, we have to want the thing. We have to want hope to be there, and we have to want to believe. I would say that the fact that they wanted to believe is probably the only reasons that their eyes were opened later on in the story, when Jesus did something. He broke the bread. He basically gave them communion, right? And when that happened, I think if they had fully doubted, right, then their hearts would have been hardened. They wouldn't have seen that. And doubt is that hardening of your heart. And I think that the fact, I think, is proof that they wanted to believe, but they were discouraged and they were down. I think the proof is that they actually were open to the idea, the possibility, which is why their eyes were opened when Jesus finally broke the bread. Okay, so that's, I think, the first couple of things. Never give up hope. Pray what you got. Don't be afraid to use the words that you have in your head to describe how you're feeling to God. I think that's so important. It's how you get around it. It's how you keep an open mind to solving the problem. The next one is I think it's clear that God sends us signs so that we may believe, right? He clearly, so in verse 38, right? I think it's really interesting that it says, again, so this is where they've got the full group of disciples. Verse 38 is, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Again, we see that doubts arising. And Jesus knows because he's talked about belief without doubt, right? And so he sees doubts arising. Maybe he sees that if he doesn't take some action, the seed that was planted might get destroyed by doubts growing. So he's got to take some action here. Why do doubts arise in your heart? So he starts to show them some things. And again, verse 41, but while they still did not believe, then he asked them if they have any food there. So these guys were starting, the doubt was starting to creep in. And I think what's really interesting and powerful is that they wanted to believe, and this is my takeaway, like they wanted to believe, but they had doubts arising. And what is amazing is God, Jesus, steps in and gives them signs. He helps them, shows them things like his hands, his feet, he broke the bread, did these things so that he would help the belief to grow, help the doubts to go down. He sends signs so that we may believe. And I think that's really important to be aware of in our life. I've talked about the concept of a highlight reel and how important it is to have a highlight reel that you can refer back to so that when doubts arise, you can look back at the times that, you know, God actually showed up. And not only that, but I think that it's clear that, and this is what's cool about it, is like, if we're on the right path and if we want, we have the desire. Again, it's the desire I don't believe is as important as the belief, as powerful as the actual belief. We know it's not, but it's the road to it. And if we have the desire, right, and sometimes, or if our belief is waning at times, then it's clear that God sends us things to actually help us to bolster our beliefs and to eliminate the doubts. And if that's the case, then here's what I would say is the takeaway, and here's the question for you. Are you looking for those situations? Are your eyes opened to those situations? Do you truly want to believe? Like, is there something that you're pursuing? Maybe you hit a roadblock. Maybe it's slowing down. Maybe it's challenging. Maybe you just can't believe it because it's so big. Is there something that you truly want to believe that is part of your mission that God has put in your life? Like, is there something like that? But there's discouragement and there's doubt creeping in, or it's hard to believe. I've talked about some hacks, you know, asking magic questions, which you can go and look at those devos and episodes in the past. But the other thing is, if you want to believe, if you truly want, and this is a question, because I coach a lot of people, I talk with people who say they want something, but they don't. They don't really. Like their mind is too shut and closed to all the hard things that they'll have to do. And just basically the hard work that they'll have to do mentally, physically, whatever it may be. So they don't. So I think this only applies if you truly want something, if you truly hope for something. And if that hope is maybe being challenged with some discouragement. If that's the case, then your heart and mind are open. If it's not the case, the people that don't want things, I think this is where Jesus talks about doubt. When, to me, doubt is when you've hardened your heart, you've shut yourself off. Like, like this is the beginning of doubt, right? Doubt creeping in and hope waning and discouragement. That's the beginning of doubt. But true doubt, I believe, is when you've closed it off, when you've hardened your heart, when you're like, done. This is not possible. You've made that decision. And a lot of people do make that decision. They don't even know they made that decision. So be aware that it could be a subconscious decision. But the problem is when you're not, if you're doubting and your heart is hardened, you're not aware to the things that God sends into your life. These guys were clearly open enough so that, and this story goes on, the 12 actually then see him and believe as well as it goes on in that story, just like the two on the road to Emmaus. But their hearts weren't hardened, so they were open to God actually sending a sign and seeing it. And so I think when you're pursuing something, you need to stack the deck in your favor. That means you need to be looking for situations that actually bolster your belief. I keep a business journal, I keep a journal. I call it a biz journal because I use it for business, but it's really my entire life. But all it is I scan the day, I scan the week, and I try and just start looking for observations in my own life. And then I start, the goal, my end goal with my journal is to find places where I'm like, huh, I didn't think that would happen and it did. Wow, that was a really challenging circumstance and it worked itself out. Wow, I went to pursue this crazy thing and then I did it and it turned out really, really great. You know, or it was really, really hard, but you know, what are the good things? Like you must spin a situation. You must spin your life. You must stack the deck in your favor. You must scan everything and find the places where the good things are, where the pieces that will bolster your belief exist, where the situations happen that actually improve your momentum and increase your belief. Like you have to be looking for those. You can't just be open to them. I would say for a high performance person, like you look at any high performance person, right? By the way, I just watched the Arnold documentary. They're the Netflix three episodes, right? Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of these really interesting people. I don't know what his faith level is or anything like that. But the point is he stacks the deck in his favor in everything he does. He says, I'm going to do this thing. He visualizes it. He's bold enough to look for the biggest thing. Like, I mean, come on, he's Austrian. He's got a really deep, unique accent. And he was like, I'm going to become an American movie star. And he did. I mean, he against all odds. And now, and has some of the biggest movies ever. I think I'll Be Back is the most quoted movie line ever. The point is like high performers stack the deck in their favor. That's what they do. They don't just open their minds up to the possibility of God showing them something. I say God intentionally because even if they don't believe it, that's who it is. They don't just open their minds up, but they look for it. And that is so important. Most people, 99.9% of the population spends their time looking for the doubt, looking for the negative, looking for the bad. The media, social media, the government, all these outside organizations spend their time focusing you on the doubt, on the negative, on the downsides. That is their strategy. That's the devil's strategy. If you're going to be successful, you must focus yourself on the upsides and scan your entire life for the good things that actually bolster your belief in what you're supposed to be doing. Like you must. And if you look at any successful person, any successful athlete, you'll see that that is how they operate. And so, I think it's interesting that God sends us signs. We have to be not only open to them, but the high performer has to be looking for them. You need to be looking for them to the point where other people are like, I don't think that's a sign. It might just be coincidence. And you're like, no. By the way, there is no such thing as coincidence. It does not exist. It's a made up word. So think about that. When you feel like, oh, this is a coincidence, maybe, and I would say not maybe, it is a God tap. So don't let those pass you by. To me, it turns out this is really powerful because discouragement is not the end. It's not as, discouragement while wanting to believe clearly is as a place that many of us are and the disciples were, and that is not the same as doubt. So that's great. That's good news. Now, it needs to be on the road to actual belief, because actual belief is the only way you accomplish the things. Discouragement and doubt are different. I think that's what I get out of here. So I hope this is helpful to you. I hope it helps you look for all the ways that God is working in your life, like actually doing the things in your life. I hope it helps you scan your life every single day and see more things that bolster your belief. If you'd like to learn more about the Biz Devo, or if you'd like to get them in your inbox or text it to you, you can go to bizdevo.com. Or if you'd like to learn more about me, Ken Ott, you can go to kenott.com. That's kenott.com. And until next time, thanks and never stop growing.